Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews live from Paris Mountain, South Carolina. We're up here for a vacation weekend on the 4th of July. I'm here with my friends. We have had a magnificent time. The beautiful weather, it hasn't been too hot. It hasn't been, of course, it hasn't been too cold. It's been just a lot of fun. And I've got to say something. We've got the amazing Velvet with us, truly one of my best friends in the whole broadcast world. But I want to share something with everybody. I'm up here with my friends, the McIntyres. They're very detailed people. They worked for IBM. They just look at everything. And they were looking at Scarycast, which is another show that I host, and it's on WLSC, AM and FM. It is on Saturday nights at midnight. Very important hour to be on the radio if you're running a paranormal show. So what happened was Sharon looked at the responses. I sometimes put up music videos, and I put up Doctor and the Medics, Spirit in the Sky, which is very appropriate for Scarycast. I had over, in 1 month, I've had over 100 comments, the majority of them from Great Britain, because that was a gigantic hit in Great Britain, Spirit in the Sky. And it just made me feel like that everything that I've done for 6 years, hosting pop culture stars, hosting Comic-Con stars, hosting Scarycast, and now hosting Pro Wrestling Interviews, it made me feel like that everything that I did really mattered, because people, I believe, listen to us. They love our show. And as to the comments of Spirit in the Sky, there are so many people that say, this reminds me of my father before he died. This was his favorite song. This is the song I want played when I die. I mean, it's amazing the response that I have gotten for just that one video. The two videos that I posted were Spirit in the Sky by Doctor and the Medics, which is a remake of Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky from 1969, which topped the charts. And then, of course, Back Off Boogaloo by Ringo Starr, truly one of the greatest drummers in history and one of the greatest personalities. What a great guy. So all I've got to say is I want to say thank you to all of our fans. We're going to keep doing this till we die, because we know you're out there listening. And thank you so much for everything that you've done to bring us joy and cheer as we work very hard to produce great podcasts. So now I want to bring on the one, the only, the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina, and truly one of the greatest friends I've ever had. Number one in my book, the Amazing Velvet. Amazing Velvet, how are you doing tonight on this 4th of July?
I'm doing great. We had a great time here at the old homestead in the country, and kind of winding down now because the neighbors are now out shooting their guns instead of fireworks. So we're having a good time. You know, Dr. John, you're a good friend of mine too, buddy. You have great shows. This one's a great show that you helped produce and host with me. I wouldn't have it any other way without anybody else. I tell you that right now.
Listen, buddy, it's a huge honor to be on the best independent wrestling network show on the Internet. And I am so proud to be part of Pro Wrestling Interviews. We started this. We just kind of said, well, maybe we ought to do it. And it has grown and grown and grown.
We have.
Because now I want to recap what you and I have done as part of Pro Wrestling Interviews. We implemented the first Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. We had great inductees like the great Susan Green, Tony Rose, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, and one of my personal favorites that I love to death, Crazy Train. And we had so many great inductees. And you, you of all people who really, really, as the founder of Battleground Championship Wrestling in Charleston, you've done so many great things for wrestling and for wrestlers themselves. And that's why we pick who we pick. We're pretty close to getting ready to our next graduating class into the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, which will be January 6th in Charleston, South Carolina. It's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tony Rose, the great Susan Green, Papa Stroh, Crazy Train, L.A. Tank will be there.
Yes.
I love L.A. Tank. It was so funny. I got to tell you this, Velvet. Can I tell you why I like L.A. Tank?
Yes, go ahead.
This is like one of my favorite wrestling stories. So he and Papa Stroh are wrestling, and you got to tell us because you're going to be up there. Now, have you been inducted to the UPWA Hall of Fame yet?
Not yet, this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And L.A. Tank
will
be inducting me, yes.
Of course. I'm sorry, we just can't get enough of Tank. So
no.
What happens is two things happened in a particular match, which I believe may be the greatest independent wrestling match in history. Papa Stroh versus L.A. Tank for the World Heavyweight Championship of UPWA. Sorry, it's not Battleground, but it was UPWA World Heavyweight Championship. And so we're all sitting there, and out comes the carriage that Papa Stroh carries Dorothy, his alter ego, in, that vicious, that vicious, mean Dorothy. And it comes out, and everybody in that room, there must have been 300 people in that room. That's a lot for an indie wrestling show. And everybody is trained. They've got their eyes glued on that beautiful, beautiful little carriage. And L.A. Tank comes walking down from the ring to look to see what is going on. And that damn Papa Stroh entered the building from the front door. All 300 of us never saw him until he came in and blew L.A. Tank away, beat the heck out of him. It was just incredible. And you know what? I said to myself, I can't believe that Papa Stroh tricked me to the fact that he tricked me. He tricked everybody in that room that he was coming out on one side, and nobody saw him come running in. And it was one of the greatest entrances. I mean, there's nothing in WCW or WWE that can compare to that. And then Papa Stroh picks Tank up, and he yells at the ladies that are doing the concession. He says, get out of here. And so they move their stuff, and he picks up L.A. Tank, and he throws him through the concession stand window. And it's like his Tank is just laying there. He can't move. He can't do anything. He is just sitting there, his feet are out. There's not a thing that he can do. And that was truly two of the greatest moments in independent wrestling by two of our alumni, two of our members of our incredible, incredible Hall of Fame. And that's what our people are about. Our people are about the greatness of what they can do and what they can make us believe. And that's what it's all about. You know, Velvet, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
We suspend belief when the guys are that good. We suspend belief. It's like, and then we realize, oh, gosh, they got us. Oh, gosh, they got us.
Yeah.
And it's great. And okay, so please take over. And I think you'll agree the magic of suspension of belief is what professional wrestling is all about. Take it away, Velvet.
Absolutely. You got to tell a story. If you don't tell a story and make people believe it, then they don't come back. You can do 100 moves, but people aren't going to remember all that. So if you do something like Papa Stroh just did on that show by wheeling Dorothy out by herself, and then everybody watching the carriage, and then him coming through the front door. That's how you make an entrance. That's how you tell a story. So,
and speaking
absolutely.
Velvet, speaking of an entrance, we've got one of the greatest of the greats of the greats has come online, area code 803-413.
Oh, yeah.
Who is
this? We know
this?
Who that is, baby.
Yeah.
My friend, please introduce yourself.
I'm just Susan Green, and I had a I didn't have
you ain't just
my
Susan
four
Green.
Kids. My kids
right.
had an accident, and I had to mop up 32 ounces of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. All right.
It was more important to get my Dr. Pepper mopped up.
Oh, no.
Before I got
absolutely.
On the phone.
I got you. That's fine. Well, you're not just
That's
Susan
okay.
Green. You're a professional wrestling Hall of Famer, and you're also an NWA Hall of Famer. Do not sell yourself short.
Yeah, I do.
and I will tell you something that I saw funny today. I did not take a picture of it, but happened to be in the world's worst store ever. It starts with a W, ends with a T. Everybody knows what that is. But anyway, it's something Mark or something like that. But anyway, so walking around with the wife and the daughter and look just playing around in the store, actually. That's all we were doing. Happened to walk down where the action figures are and happened to be looking. And next thing you know it, guess what I found, Susan? Not you, but I wish it was.
Mula?
Nope. Her
that
sidekick.
Mindy Richter?
No,
oh,
I found a Mae Young. No, I found a Mae Young.
Yeah.
They ain't got no
God.
Judy Martin.
Yeah, well, that's true. They ain't got one of her because she wasn't there with them.
I know. But, yeah, it was funny. I was going to take a picture of it, and my daughter hit me with a volleyball in the head, so I had to kind of pay attention to
Where
that.
Did you
because
find
I knew
that?
She was gonna...
And I'm going to come
at
get
Walmart,
that tomorrow.
Walmart. There's two of them, actually. Walmart and off of Glenn McConnell in West Ashley. I'll send you the address.
Please do.
Was
How's
it,
that?
WWF or WWE?
WWE. They don't have any. They've all gone. Everything's WWE on those things. They don't do.
I know
they did
sometimes
do some.
You,
yeah.
Yeah, sometimes
you can
find
one right
at WWF at Big Lots.
Oh yeah. I haven't been to Big Lots in a hot minute, but I do. Before we go any further, we got three, I think. But before we go any further, I have to do this because I know it hit you hard, but it really hit me hard. I didn't know how hard it was to drive my wife to the doctor after reading that one of the greatest referees of all time and a great human being and a great person had passed away on Friday. What was that, Friday? Or was that Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. Thursday morning and then the other one went Thursday afternoon.
Right. So I'm talking about Mac McMurray. Don't know exactly what happened. We all kind of have a speculation. His wife found him in the garage, and I like to take a moment for him and also for South Carolina's own, the Patriot, Dell Wilkes, passed away over the weekend as well. If you don't know, go look it up. Take a time to send a comment of prayers or whatever you can do. But Mac Murray hit me pretty hard, Susan.
He actually refereed to me.
Wow. I had talked to him like 2 weeks ago, you know. I always stay in touch with him. And I'm like, holy cow, I just spoke to him. You know, it's like.
You know what, I figured he was loading his truck because he pulls out on Thursday and comes back on Sunday going to wrestling events like Fan Fest and all that.
He was headed somewhere.
Yeah. Because they always tell me, don't call me Thursday through Sunday.
Well, you know, Velvet, there's one thing that's very important. I believe we did the last interview with Mac Murray.
I don't know. I have to look because he might have done another one. I'm not sure. But I'll check them. It doesn't matter because I know he was on our show. We should replay that on WLSC. We should do that, find that one, and ask your guy to replay that one. That'd be a good one to replay.
I will do that. No, I think it's very important. And by the way, for everybody, we're moving to a new time. We're moving to 8 p.m. on Sunday night, WLSC AM and FM, so that you can listen to this show on the Internet, and then you can catch the new show. So all I've got to say is we're just so glad that Banana Jack.
We're
going to
be back to back. That's awesome.
Back to back.
You missed the show. Wow, that's awesome. That's really good. That's a big move right there.
And the fact that we have Mac Murray, I'll get that up at least on the Internet. And the fact that we have the great Susan. You know what, Susan? You notice that I always call you the great Susan Green, because you truly are one of the greatest wrestlers in history. And everybody, I'm sorry, sit there and let your face get a little bit red, because you are truly one of the greatest.
She's looking to make sure her honey's not smoking.
You are truly one of the greatest wrestlers in history. And the fact that we have you on almost every week and that we're friends of yours is a gigantic honor. It is a gigantic honor. And I just want you to know how much we thank you for everything that you do and being part of our show, because our show would not be the same. Velvet, am I correct? Our show would not be the same without the great Susan Green.
If you didn't call in. Exactly. You didn't call in. Because you know what? Sometimes I need a little help schooling some youngins, and you jump right in there and take it. I love that part, because you go, hang on a second, let me tell them something. Or you just jump right in and go, and I love that. But see, that's because you're still working. You're still out there.
Yeah.
And these kids don't understand that. You know?
Yeah.
It's a long journey.
If it's in your heart, it's hard to get it out.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. It's hard to get. Listen, my blood has been boiling since I've been on the shelf. And I had that boat accident, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. I can tell you right now, I can take a bump. So that's scary for a lot of independent wrestlers right now. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So I got a couple that have mouthed off to me, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But, I forgot when what's-his-name's fight is going to be, Sinister's. I know it's coming up this month, and I can't remember what day it's going to be, but that's okay. Hey, you know Mike never got back to me, Susie. Have you talked to him?
No, I have not.
Ellison? Okay.
Yeah, I have not talked to him.
Well, when you get a shot at talking to him, that'd be great.
I'm kind of like you. I've left messages and he ain't got back to me.
Well, that's some bull. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think the state – now, let's talk about this, Susan. You and I can really get into this pretty deep. I think the state of – and we're only going to talk about independent wrestling. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
I think the state of independent wrestling is a 50-50 right now. You know as well as I do, we know there's good promoters, bad promoters, good bookers, bad bookers, good owners, bad owners, all of that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, sometimes these kids lose themselves in the sight of all of that, because they get sucked into the vortex, which is, well, I work for so-and-so, and this is what he tells me all the time. And they don't realize, I guess, because, you know, they get blinded about, hey, I work for this guy. You know, he pays me. But he also could be sending you down the, you know.
Yeah.
The two. I'm trying to be nice.
Down the door.
You don't have to be nice, Velvet.
No, you don't, but, it took a lot of people, including myself, a long time to understand the value of what's been told to me by the people who cared about me, and Susan is one of them. Before I got close to Susan, I was in a whirlwind of crap. This one would say something. This one would say something. That one would say – it was just a vicious circle cycle. That's all I can put it as. It's just a vicious cycle. And if you're talking bad about this one and talking bad about that one, you know, it's going to come back. And they're going to – you know, and it, if you get caught into that and you play that game of – say Susan and I have beef, okay? And it's just between me and Susan. If you're getting involved in somebody else's beef and putting your nose in there, don't expect it not to get knocked off or your feelings hurt or whatever. You inserted yourself into something that is not your fight. There's a lot of that going on right now in this business where two people is now massed into six or seven. Why? It has nothing to do with anybody else but the two people that have that heat.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just me and you, go ahead.
Leave it between me and you.
Right. And not only that, if we have a problem, don't tell everybody. Go to the source. I need to go to you. You need to come to me. We shouldn't be sitting over here in the corner talking about, you know, that Dave, you know, that Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that Velvet telling me. And if you start telling people, they get involved. And that's also another problem. You know, this is how people can't get any further than they're getting in this business because they get caught up in that. You know? And it's so political right now in this business, which is a shame, you know, because there's a lot of people out there with really, really, really talented, some with some real raw talent that can be molded into something, but nobody wants to take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And they're all and I'll say this till I die. Right now, independent wrestling, nobody's paying any dues by setting up and tearing down. Nobody's setting up and tearing down rings. There's a lot of places that have a building that it stays set up all the time. So when these kids go hit the road and they're asked to tear up, set up and tear down, they don't want to do it because they're like, no, I'm a superstar. Look at me. Pay me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't work like that. You have to pay your dues. Just because where you work and you've trained and you hit the indies and you think you can just get your pay and walk out of there without helping, that's not paying dues in this business. And that's not learning and listening to the guys who are hanging around, setting up or tearing down either. You can learn a lot of stuff
from
veterans, you know, that are still setting up and tearing down because you superstars don't want to do it. Independent superstars just don't want to do it. You know, that's all you're going to be. If that's the case, you're never going to get anywhere. You know, it takes an army to get one person into the big time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like in the olden days where if you were raw talented and you got thrown out on the road with very little training, that's not today. You know? Because nobody wants to pay a liability claim because you took two bumps and they said, well, you're working the show Saturday. Nah, that ain't happening.
No.
But, I've seen it happen, but it's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the way it's going. I mean, there's so much happening.
Well,
you know,
back in the territory days when there was every state had somebody major promoter, and then they had the other smaller promoters that worked under the major promoter. They were able to have, you know, 100 guys working in the territory because it was running two or three towns a night.
Correct.
The opening and the preliminary matches was normally included on the ring crew, and one of them was going to be the referee.
Always.
And that was just and that's just the way it was back when there was the territories, you know.
Right.
Only the semi-main and main event didn't have to worry about getting there early to set up the ring or getting the concessions.
No. Right. Exactly.
I can remember my days when I was training for Joe Blanchard, you know, Monday through Thursday. It was 8 hours a day with Bob, which is turned into being Blackjack Mulligan. We were in that
right.
room for 8 hours a day. And then on Thursday night, we tore the ring down because I was training the summer before my junior year in high school. And we tore the ring down and set it up for a Friday spot show, as they called them. Tore it down, and the referee and the other ring crew people would get there early, and me and Bob had to be there to set it up on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Then we tore it down, and we didn't run on Sundays very often. And then Monday morning, we got there at 8 o'clock, and we had to get the ring set back up. And get going
again.
8 hours.
Well, you know, that's paying dues. Paying dues. See, he had a building, made you tear it down, made you set it back up, made you tear it down, made you set it back up, all in a weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is. You can't beat that right there. These kids don't have any clue.
Yeah, you know, and
you
I
know,
got the ring that we had to tear down. I mean, my training ring is the ring that me and Bob had to tear down and set up, and it's bolted together. It don't slide together. So we're talking 2 to 3 hours to get it together.
Trust me, I know that ring kicked my butt plenty of times. Had fun with that. Not too crazy about your ring either, you know. Not too crazy about all that.
But you
even to this day,
don't you, Velvet?
Oh, you have. If you don't, then you're an idiot. I mean, that's straight up. If you don't respect the ring that is as stiff as a board, and is, if you can, I tell this to everybody. If you can take a bump and be trained in the ring that Susan has, you can bump in any ring across this country, maybe across this world. You may not find one as stiff as hers. You may come across one, but I doubt it.
Overseas, you might find
you,
one, and I'd sit there and say in Tonga because it was made out of palm leaves.
Oh, wow.
With a canvas across it.
Right? Here, fight.
And they didn't take the molded one off from the year before. They just put fresh ones on, and I sit there and said, when you hit it, that mold and stuff would come up, and I said, Rick Flair was over there with me, and I said, don't fall down, don't take a bump, and I said, you won't be able to breathe, and
he
came back up, and he went out there and did that nose dive.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting up pretty fast.
Yeah, I bet he was. That's like being on a hot. That's like being on an outside show. Well, that was outside, but an outside show with a hot
canvas.
Yeah, with a black hot canvas, or that red sticky one that some of these people had.
Yeah.
That red one that was shiny, and you hit it, you could hear your, you could hear the sizzling of your skin, and pulling some off too. God awful. Yeah, the black ones are the worst. I had a couple of those, got back to that original blue that the NWA did, because that's the best one to have, actually. It conforms well. All of those old school ones that they're making now, because I got mine from High Spots, it's old school. So it's not going to tear unless you do something completely stupid, you know, like having some death matches or something. I don't recommend those. But
no,
I'm sure you've seen some.
Oh yeah, I've seen them. I can sit there and say I only know one and only one that females ever had, and I was in it a scaffold match that was 20 foot over the ring.
Woo! Hell no.
Yeah, that was it was at Hemisphere Arena in San Antonio, and I sit there and said, when they said it, thinking 20 foot from the floor, not 20 foot from the ring. So when you're up there and you're
holy
looking down
cow.
At people.
Yeah. No kidding, right?
Everybody looked like a little midget sitting down there.
That's funny. Holy cow. Well, I've never done that.
Susan, this is Dr. John. When you found out that it was 20 feet from the base of the ring, from the ring, what did you do? How did you approach that so that you didn't die?
Very carefully.
I'm serious.
Very. I actually thought Joe Blanchard was kidding me, and I thought, no, he, you know, I'm not going to let this rib get to me until I walked
right.
out and I saw that 20-foot scaffold, and I got in the ring, and I thought, okay, am I supposed to get up there? And
right.
And Cantu said, you climb the scaffold. And I thought, I climbed the scaffold. I need an elevator.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
but when you're up there, it's like, Jesus.
You think 3 foot's a good space, but when you're standing on a 3 foot base,
yeah,
and you see the opponent on the other side, 3 foot ain't nothing.
Nope. That's
awful
scary.
Yeah. I said, luckily I'm the one that got to stay on top.
Yeah, right.
Nope, sorry. Yeah. The other one.
Who did you wrestle that? Susan, who did you wrestle that night?
Evelyn Stevens.
Evelyn Stevens.
The scary part, it was for the Southwest Championship Wrestling Championship.
Wow.
And I sat there and said, why couldn't we just have a regular match? You know,
right?
Why are we?
What's going on?
This is crazy. I'm used to having 18 foot.
Joe was working you, man. That's what that was.
Yeah, but the sheep herders were there, or the Kiwis, or whatever. Whoever remembers them for what they did. But they sit there and said, never in their life have they ever seen girls climb a scaffold. And I said, well, I hope I never have to climb another one.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you made it. Is she still alive?
Evelyn has passed away. She had cancer, and they first thought it was whenever she was after she got out of prison and went to Arizona. They went
up to Washington. She was in prison.
They went up to Washington State and thought they would be easier to breathe up there. And then when she found out she had cancer, she went home to where she could see her grandchildren and her daughter and everything before she passed, and she was home just a few weeks before she passed.
That's a shame.
But she got to see her kids, yeah. She got to see her child and her grandchildren. So but I sat there and said, we could tell some stories.
That's right.
Well, I'm just reading about her. That's crazy.
That's an amazing story in and of itself, Susan. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. And you know what? This chapter's not over. I hear Susan wants to whip the Amazing Velvet one more time. I welcome that challenge now. I welcome it with open arms because it might go a little different this time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to see now, won't we? We'll just have to see, though. You know, let the best king or queen win. Who's going to do it?
That's
what
right.
it should be called. We should have the king versus the queen. Oh,
there you go.
Awesome. And we ought to make it you know what we ought to do? Since you like your jeans and your boots and all, we should do a bunkhouse bunk match. That'd be funny too.
Yeah.
You can wear a nice shirt and your boots, take your hat off, and then it'll be on.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to wear. I don't know what the queen's going to wear, but hey.
That's right, because you're the Amazing Velvet.
I will find me some pink chaps. That would be awesome, Susan. That would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would really, hey, you know what? We'd probably steal the show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, those will be old times for sure, and we cannot wait until that one gets announced. No, for sure. You know, these are great matches and rematches that we grew up on. And this is what we loved about professional wrestling. Velvet and I were talking about the other day about Brute Bernard and Skull Murphy. And they were terrifying Susan, to a 13-year-old Brute Bernard was terrifying. He was. Did you ever know him?
I saw him before 13. I was probably 8 or 9 when I saw him, and it was like I didn't really want to be on the front row.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
He was.
Well, I tell you what scared me was the first time I saw Sweet Hansen. I almost pooped my pants. You know,
that
I was probably
was big.
I was, well, dude, I'm 5'3", okay? I ain't gotten any bigger since I've been 7 years old. No, that's funny. I was a midget. Listen, I was 5 foot tall going into high school. Trust me. I only gained 3 inches after that. But anyway, I was probably 6 or 7 years old the first time I saw him. And I saw Johnny Valentine at the curtain. He had his, they weren't crutches, but he had some things that he could walk on his arms. And I got to meet him. And he was scary at first, but he's like, come here, kid. And I talked to him for a minute. But no, Sweet Hansen was a scary dude.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put them forearms on you, holy cow. As a kid, you know, you're enthralled with everything. You don't, okay, until you become a wrestler, but when you're a kid and you watch this, you're like, holy cow, he is just beating the tar off of Johnny Weaver, you know? How's Johnny Weaver going to come back and get up? And then Johnny Weaver, all the thing Weaver did in the entire match was put him in that sleeper at the end. That was it. He got beat from pillar to post. I was like, holy cow. You know, another one for me that we used to make fun of was a huge feud here at County Hall. I was a little bit older. Was Mr. Wrestling 2 against Mr. Fuji.
Yeah.
And we used to all laugh because we knew he was going to, you know, get on the top rope, do the double leg drop, and every wrestler moved every time. He never hit it. I think he only hit it one time in County Hall, but he never hit it. And we would make him mad because he'd get to the top rope and scream, Banzai! He'd miss, and he'd look at the, you know, he'd look at the crowd with his face like, you know, he hurt himself. And all the kids were standing there just screaming, laughing, and pointing at him. That's one of my fondest memories. That was great. I have to tell you this. As I got older, and the great Kabuki, Gary Hart would say, Kabuki. But he was with Paul Jones, number one Paul Jones, and Kabuki was a no contest. The match was thrown out. He was walking back. They had no security. He's walking through the crowd. He's going to the back, and me and my buddies were in high school, and we're just taunting him and, you know, this and that. And I wasn't paying attention. And some dude from the balcony poured a beer on Paul Jones, and Paul Jones went absolutely ape nuts. And then he slipped down and kicked his feet on the ground, you know, and screaming security. It was great. I look back, and my buddy pulled me out of the way just in time. Kabuki spit the mist. If I had stayed there, I'd have got hit straight in the face with the mist. He was so pissed at us. He sprayed the mist, and it hit the pole that was holding up the balcony. And I'm like, holy crap. I said, can he do that? And my buddy goes, hell, I don't know. He goes, but you were going to get it if I didn't pull you out of there. It was so funny. But I was like, holy cow. At one place I would have
Velvet
was there. Yes.
Velvet, we've got another caller online. He is area code 843 874. Who's now online with us?
That's Steven.
Hey, Stellar Steven, how are you? I'll turn you over to the Amazing Velvet.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah,
what's going on, man?
Is did Curtis call in, or is it the Velvet
No,
Hour?
It's just the Velvet Hour. It's Susan Green, the Velvet and Susan Hour.
Yeah.
All right.
We're just talking old matches. Go ahead.
You're talking about Kabuki. I actually saw one of his later matches. It's like one of his retirement matches in Pro Wrestling Noah. I was surprised by how he could still perform at an advanced age. And he was using the nunchucks.
Oh, yeah. But in Japan, they do wrestle into their 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You just don't see a lot of it on TV, but
that's probably why Dory works, in his later years too.
Yeah, he's still going over there. Yeah, Dory.
That's a tough son of a gun, brother. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Ugh. All those Texas guys and Oklahoma guys like the Briscoes, always tough. Always. And I try to tell people, you got two ways you can be in the wrestling business. You can be a sprinter or you can be a long jumper. And what I mean by that is you can sprint and go as fast as you can and blow yourself out and blow yourself till you don't like the business. Or you can take your time and take it long. You know, you don't have to be in a hurry. You know, if you have talent and people recognize that, you get recognition. You know, just follow your path. Don't follow somebody else's path. You know, I try to tell people that all the time. But anyway, Steve, what else you got, man? What's going on in the world of Japanese wrestling?
I think Onita just recently had his FMWE show. I haven't checked the results, but it seems like there were a lot of explosions, advertised.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
We talked earlier about some death matches, man. I mean, death matches are crazy. They're still going on to this day over there, you know. It has its own place in professional wrestling. Not everybody has to agree with it, but it does have a place, you know, whether you like it or not. But death matches are still around, you know.
Stopped in Japan.
No, nothing stops in Japan, but you know what?
And I think they dream up a lot of these matches over in Japan.
They probably do. Well, I just watched the thing on Nick Gage, the death. He's supposed to be the death match king, and they interviewed John Moxley about that guy and this and that. And that's how he met Gage, and this guy's supposed to be like the top. He almost died in a match. They showed it. He got jabbed in the and up under his armpit. Glass went straight through him. And he wanted to go back out there. He goes, just tape it up. Let me go back out there. I said, if you go back out there, you're going to bleed to death. Yeah. You know, he still wanted to go back out. He was wrestling some guy from – they brought in a guy from Germany that did death matches to wrestle him. I was like, that's crazy. What was the tournament? But I mean, I've seen some wacky ones, man. It's like, you think any barbed wire that's ever done in the States was great? Watch Japanese wrestling. Holy cow.
Yeah, they put electricity to them.
Oh, I know. They've had C4 caps, too. Oh, I know. And they also do the C4 little cap exploders, you know. Trick that, man. I knew.
Nope.
Even though even Funk and Foley did that, I'm like, y'all are nuts,
yep.
dude.
Yeah.
They did that in Japan. That was crazy
to
watch.
Foley's arm was still smelling when he got home during the plane ride and after.
Isn't that crazy? You got to love the sport to go out there and go, you know what, let's go to Japan and just rip each other's flesh apart and blow each other up. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Who says yes to that? I mean, come on. obviously they did. But
if I would have thought Joe Blanchard was saying the truth on that scaffold match, I'd have said no.
Right? Right?
I was just returning from my neck and back being broke, so I wasn't in no shape to be falling 20 foot.
Oh, dude. Go, Steve.
Yeah, the last New Japan show I watched was it was like Dominion, and it was Okada versus Shingo for the heavyweight title.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a great match.
I gotta check some of that
out.
I've been looking at some of that stuff. You got me on to that.
Oh yeah, like Shingo's really good. His matches with Osprey and Okada and Ibushi.
Oh, absolutely.
He's definitely one of the top champions right now, even though he's brand new to the heavyweight title scene.
Yeah.
Jeff Cobb versus Kota Ibushi was the semi-main.
Oh, Jeff Cobb.
That was
yeah.
really good as well. I like Jeff. Yeah.
I do too. Well, what's going on with MLW? Does anybody even know what's going on with them?
I think they moved to Vice TV, and I haven't checked them out lately, but I know Jake
they moved to Vice?
Last night.
I thought they were on Fight.
Yeah,
I thought they were on Fight. They moved to Vice. That'd be cool.
On YouTube, and then they started Flow Sports or something like that, and then they probably went to Vice, and then... I know Jacob Fatu is like a long-reigning champion over there. I assume he's still champion.
Well, their second-tier champion is a big old dude, man. I can't remember his name. It looks like he's from Texas. I don't know. He's just a big boy. I can't remember the name of that title. But he's solid.
Is it Alexander Hammerstone with the openweight title?
No, which title?
Was it the openweight with Alexander Hammerstone?
Yes, Hammerstone. That is, I like him. I really do. At first I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think
Susan,
I saw a match.
Susan, we got to get you hooked up on that. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think I saw him have a match with Go Shiozaki. In Pro Wrestling Noah, so he's done some Japan stuff too.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm just saying, when I saw him in the open weight match, and I was like, wow, okay. I didn't like him at first, but he's a
like
big old boy though. Yeah, he's a man's man wrestler, basically. You'd like him, Susan. You would. He's got the look. He's got the rugged look. The rugged good looks, and he's got size, and he actually can perform. He actually can wrestle, and I'm like, okay, because at first I thought he's wrestling a guy that's at least 70 pounds lighter than him. I'm like, okay, how's this going to happen? You know, how are we going to work this out? But they had a hell of a match. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
But Hammerstone, I have to try to get you some stuff on him. But, yeah. He's pretty cool.
And both Hammerstone and Fatu have been champion since like summer 2019. Jacob was like July 6, 2019. So.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're putting the company behind them if they're moving to to a better spot. That's good.
I wanted to give you a personal update. I've been doing some jiu-jitsu for a few weeks, and it's been pretty fun.
Cool.
Like
awesome.
Sinister. And
yeah.
Hoping to do at least twice a week if I can, because there's open mats, and you can take a class, like four classes per month.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
I
got the bruises to show it.
I bet. That's a lot of work, man. Jiu-jitsu is a lot of work. You think traditional karate's work? Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is your a lot of foundation for guys going to MMA and going to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's good. You'll learn a lot doing that. A lot.
Yeah. I need some
you
harder, kick in some skill.
Kicking
and...
the butt. Yeah, I hear you.
I think a lot of it's getting my butt kicked, but I'm just holding on for dear life.
Listen. Listen. Once you get through all that, and the adrenaline takes over, you won't feel a thing. You won't. It's like wrestling. Once you get rolling, it becomes in your blood. And once it comes in your blood, that's it. It's over. You beat that part of it. Now you learn. You know, you learn everything you can every time you go. So yeah,
right.
I mean, everybody needs a kick in the butt every now and again, and that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that. I mean, I would love to, but I just I've had enough beatings in my life.
Oh yeah.
And
well,
Susan
now, I don't
wants
know,
to do
Velvet.
Another one, so
you may have one more. So now.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do Sinfully Sweet, Tommy Feathers, and the Amazing Velvet against L.A. Tank and Papa Stro at some point. I have no idea when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Is that going to happen before or after Velvet versus Susan?
Don't know.
Whichever one gets signed first.
Whatever one gets, thank you very much.
Yep.
I mean, I wish Mike would call one of us and talk to us and say, because we can get this done, you know? I don't care what it is. Tag team, you know, mixed tag match to build up to me and you having a single match and then having just that retirement match for Preston, you know? Let's get it done.
Oh, yeah.
Get it done. I mean, I know he's chomping at the bits. I know he is. I hadn't talked to him in about a week and a half, but I'm sure he's going to call me out of the blue this week. He always does.
Yeah.
It's like a week and a half to 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden I get that call while I'm driving a stick shift truck. And I'm like, oh, why are you calling me now? I got to shift gears, brother. Always
exactly.
does. Exactly. I love him. But, you know, I don't know how – you know what? There's other places we can go. There's other places I can call that I just haven't done yet. And I think I really need to go ahead and think about that and see if we can get that done. All of it. You know, if somebody's willing to do it, let's do it. Let's get it. You know, if Mike loses out, Mike loses out. You know? I mean, trying to sell a show – you know, and help you get some butts in the seats, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you bring in Tank and Robbie or Big Game James or Hoss, you're going to put some butts in the seats.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guarantee. That's a guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, it is fun. It is fun. And, you know, my wife knows my blood. I've been chomping at the bits, and she's like, "Hey!" if she could chain me to this bed and leave me in here, she would. Isn't that right? She's over here going, "I know you're trying to." I called her out. She said, "I'm calling her out." No, I'm not calling you out. Stop. Slow your roll. Already got one on the horn right here that wants a piece of old Velvet. Jeez, I don't need two of you. Yeah, I think I would tap out before when the bell rang, I would fall down and tap out, and then you go, there's no tap out. Oh, that's how it would go for me. I mean, it would. You know, I'd be like, daggummit.
I think you would be hollering,
you know,
I quit with Dawn a lot faster than you'd be hollering it with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? We can do the worst match ever, Susan. We don't even got to take no bump.
That's true.
Okay.
I've had my stand-up match.
Yeah. Yeah, the worst match ever, though. It'd be nasty. Here, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Coal miner's glove. Put that baby on a pole in the corner.
Yeah.
It'd be on after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody would want to sanction that. I don't think they'd want to have to take their canvas and go, "Can you clean that?" Did you say, did a murder happen on that with all the blood? You go, "Yeah, pretty much." I remember the one time I had to drape one of my canvases over one of my cars and scrub it at home for hours on end because of that happened on one of my shows. I was like, oh, never do that again.
Well, I'll tell you what, Velvet.
Yes.
Velvet, we
go
got
ahead.
4 minutes left. We've got enough time
Let's
for everyone
it.
To say a goodbye and a promo for what they got going on. So why don't you manage that, sir?
Okay. Stellar Steven, where are you at, sir? We need to know your handle, which is Stellar Steven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm Stellar Steven on most social media. Shout out to Black Mask Clothing. Been wearing the Tommy M shirt and Black Mask shorts.
Nice.
And shout out to Apex Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, those are my that's my plug for the week.
Awesome,
thanks for having
dude.
Me on and talking wrestling.
Yeah, man. Listen, we're proud of you, man. Just keep us posted on what's going on with you. And if you ever get any video stuff, you know, post it so we can see it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That'd be cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it would be cool. Susie, what you got going on?
I got a new guy that trying to get a few bucks together to come out and see if he wants to do a one-day. He knows he wants to do a one-day training to see if he wants to continue the training
yeah,
after the one-day.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's 19 years old, so right age to get started. You know,
yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So,
well, good.
Know, other than that, you know, he's
any matches
coming out
coming
in the
up?
Next couple of weeks.
Any matches
supposed to be
up?
Over in Augusta in a couple of weeks.
Okay, cool. Very good.
Yeah, and if,
very good.
So I know I got to hear from Mike by then.
Well, please talk to him about, you know, what
oh, yeah.
what we can all do, you know,
yeah.
like to get that done for Preston, but I also like to get ours
yeah.
done as well. So whatever can come
yeah.
of it, you know, let him pick what he wants to do, and then the other one
yeah.
will just go somewhere else. You know, that's all we can
yeah.
do. And if he
yeah.
says no, he says no. It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll,
yeah.
we'll, I got
yeah.
several other places I can call.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Cool, cool. And always, every Sunday night, Pro Wrestling Interviews, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here. And don't forget, Dr. John's number one show, Scary Cast, that's on Monday nights at 9 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's also on WLSC. AM and FM, Lawrence Myrtle Beach. And we are going to go somewhere else. What's the other platform we're going to be on there, Dr. John?
We've got some more that we're looking at, and we're going to be there
okay,
soon.
Cool.
But I will say this. Tomorrow night, WLSC, AM and FM, we're going to be doing Scary Cast. We've got John LeMay, and we're going to talk about the single most frightening movie in history. And I believe it is the movie that scared me the most, and it is Jaws. And so we're going to be coming to you,
cool.
to you live from Myrtle Beach talking about Jaws, Peter Benchley's great novel that they made into it, and John LeMay has got a book called The Making of Jaws. We are so lucky to have him. And then the next week, which will be the 5th to 12th, of July, we will have Mark Sargent, the head of the Flat Earth Society, and it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. So, excuse me. Be sure to
have one more announcement.
Yes, sir.
Being that I am a notary public, excuse me, I will be performing a wedding coming up on the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be awesome. So I got asked, and I said, absolutely, I'll do it for you. So I thought that was cool, just a little side note. All right, John, we only got
absolutely, that's great. Look, I'll take us out of here. We'll see you next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews.
All
thank
right,
you
guys.
To Stellar Steven. And, of course, thank you
yes,
so much
as always.
To the great Susan Green. Velvet, it's been
yay.
A lot of fun. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Love y'all, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you, too.
Love you, too.